Genesis and chapter 3. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow before you. God, thank you very much for your word, for your working, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful ministry that you have made possible because of your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you very much. So, looking to you, here we are. We're going to thank you very much for the weak, for the sick, the wayward. God, thank you for caring. In Christ's name, amen. In Genesis, we shared this morning as we approach the year, another year, not much difference, just a recognition of it. And in the process, we shared that one of the words that we need to understand is failure. And failure is part of our humanity because we don't look to God, as we shared in Sunday school. Failure. And we're constantly trying to use our resources, our understanding, our world as we understand it and want to understand it, and we're trying to handle it apart from God, apart from God's grace. And all we do is go and exercise effort and energy, and ultimately failure, because all that we end up doing falls short. It just doesn't work. We think it works. It seems to work. It seems like all the pieces are going together, the dominoes all line up. We got all the dominoes lining up. But then, somewhere, boom, they all go down. And we have to start again. Now, so having that in mind, Genesis chapter 3, the other word is fear. So here we are looking at Genesis chapter 3 because we want to understand that. And Adam and Eve have taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eaten, and they have disobeyed God and lost their relationship to God. And thus the wonderful covering, coating, their bodies were wonderfully covered with light in a marvelous way. They were naked and unashamed. When they sinned, they lost that. Not on the outside, they lost the inside. Outside, inside, lost it. Now, so when you come to Genesis chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in the light of that, and verse 7, 3 and 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. They're very much aware of the change of the absence of God, the change in their condition internally, externally, and therefore they try to do the best they can externally on account of the internal guilt that they have acquired. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So they go for their afternoon walk, as it would. Every day God had took a walk with them, and they had a wonderful relationship to God, and they were to exercise that. But this day, they weren't ready to do so. In fact, they went, and as it says, they hid behind the trees. Now, therefore, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, It was time for our afternoon walk, and I knew I wasn't, you don't want to see me as I am. God, I'm not able to relate to you properly. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, I got a problem, God, because of your absence causes me to be afraid, to have fear. Without you, God, I'm trying to work out existence without you. And I'm naked, guilty inside, wrong covering on the outside, fig leaves. So I'm trying to go. So fears, where are fears going to come from? They're going to come because we are naked. We're having to cover ourselves with fig leaves, hide behind the tree. We're in God's presence. And therefore, we're going to try to avoid it. Why? It's a fear. Now, when I'm trying to avoid it, I end up having my fear because I'm always in the presence of God. I can't get out of it. So therefore, my fears, my phobias, they all line up because I'm trying to handle things in a way that avoids my failure, and I always have a problem of my fear. Always fear. I have a problem with evil. Hang on. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to now, as you would guess, Psalm 23. In Psalm 23. And you would note David getting along in years and having all kinds of experience. I'll read it. It's just to get the point. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, even though I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Adam and Eve, we left that, but just remember, Genesis chapter, you have to turn there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God gives the promise that he would provide the seed of a woman and to be the Savior. And Adam and Eve knew they were wrong, guilty, and they knew their covering was no good, and therefore they were willing to quite readily receive God's wonderful grace. And therefore, Genesis 3, 20, 21, God provided two coats of skin. Animals were slain by him. The coats were prepared, and they put the coats of skin on them instead of the fig leaves. And they were covered because of another gave its life, the animal, pointing to Christ who would give his life for a covering, a cleansing, a covering. And they would believe God, and they did. They had no children, nothing. They just believed, and God blessed them. But the old nature's there, and the problem with fear is there, and Cain comes right along and ends up killing Abel, etc. And the program of humanity begins in the Genesis flood and all of that. Now, so in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So David, you are, no question, you are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And then, now, so as we proceed, going down the corridor of time here, using that, as we go down the corridor of time, remember now, we cannot stop the clock. You can't stop the calendar. You can't do it. The clock and the calendar go on and on and on, irregardless of a government, people, wars, rumors of wars, wouldn't make any difference. The clock and the calendar move onward. Now, and having said that, so therefore, David is walking in the darkness. Now, as you proceed to walk in the darkness, as you seek to do that, you need to remember now that you were born, we were all born, starting point, little baby. And apart from the Lord's coming, we're all going to die. And you say what you wish, but all the way from Adam and all of the centuries and then generation after generation, century after century, and they all die. So we're destined to die. We have a starting point. We have a finishing point. There's a day we were born, Ecclesiastes 3, and a day we die. That's there. So we can't change that. And the calendar and time move right along, like it or not, ready or not. Now, having said that, so the facts of our existence must, and the reality of our existence must be faced. So we're looking, and now we need to go, since we have a beginning and an ending. And the problem is, we have that, the reason we have a beginning is because of God's grace. The reason we have an ending is because of sin. That's why we die in our sins. That's why we are in a physical body, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't make it. So we got a problem. And without God to solve it, I'm trying to work out everything as best I can in the valley of darkness. Now, when does it get light? When does it get light? Well, we can see the future a little. See its future, especially by way of God's word. Otherwise, we try to guess at it, and we hear the doctor say in his diagnosis and then prognosis, you have 6 months, you have 6 years, and we hear that, and then we proceed down the corridor of time. And we have a beginning and an ending. Now, and the fact of that is real. We don't like to think about it, but it is real. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so, though I walk, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, having said that, in the light of that, so we're going to recognize, David recognized what? He recognized his condition. He recognized his situation. He knew he was proceeding forward. He had no way to stop. He's getting older and older and moving down the corridor, hopefully getting wiser, more God conscious, which he was, going down the corridor and going down. And therefore, as he's walking, years, minutes are going by, and he recognizes he's in the valley of the shadow of death. He recognizes he's in the valley and not on the mountaintop. That's not where he is. So now, as he proceeds to walk, and the word walk means a verb to go in any, to walk in any direction, in any manner. It's used of a plant growing, of a river flowing, flowing of a river, growing of a plant, the living of a life, to getting out of bed and work, school, home, play, coming, going, talking, walking, that kind of behavior, walking, living. So, So here we are looking in the valley of the shadow of death. David said, I'm there. Now, when does it get light? Well, we don't have quite light. Oh, there's all kinds of ways people try to give you the future. People try to find the future. We'd like to know the future. But you don't know the future. You don't know it. You say, well, I'm only 15. I'm only 25. I'm only 45. I'm 105. But you don't know the future. See? You can say, it's going to go. How do you know it's going to go? The world is full of over 7 billion people that all think it's going, and all kinds of ages, in all kinds of conditions, in all kinds of situations, people that thought they had tomorrow don't. And the clock stops, and the calendar stops. For them. Time. They have a time to be born and a time to die. Now, in the valley, we can't get out of the darkness. No. No, we're in it. And God gives us all kinds of information, and especially believers, especially by way of His Word, so that we can proceed with great comfort and hope. But, in the process, we don't know. And we have to do like James. Wonderfully so. God said, don't sin and say, thus and thus you're going to do tomorrow. Don't sin, James 4, I think. Because you don't know that. What you want to say, you say, Lord willing, I'll do this. You don't know you're going to make it to tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you don't jump ahead like that to such things is not good. You're jumping the gun and you don't have light and you want in the right to get to the place to have all those answers. God does in His wonderful, wonderful picture. Remember the thing of the top, the rug being woven and the rugs being woven, and on the top of the rug, the weaving of it, it looks wonderful. But if you look below, underneath, as the tread things are going, and here's all the strands hanging. Well, there's nothing very beautiful now. It doesn't look like anything. That's because you're looking down, trying to see it. You got to see it from God's point of view. We try to see life from our point of view. And our point of view looks up, the storm, the snow, the sleet, the cold, coming and going, winter, summer. And that's coming, here I am. That's what we try to see. To God, it doesn't look very good. Ah, God said you should see it from my point of view. What am I after? You don't even know how to make the rug. I'm making the rug just for you. I'm making your rug. I'm working on your life. Therefore, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Picking up in thought, if I may. Oh, to catch the idea of it. Verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. God's wonderful working. So God, here they are, it's psalm after psalm. You're telling us we're in the dark, we're walking in the dark, and we don't have all the answers, and we'd like to have answers, but we don't have them. And God, without you, we're in the dark. We're doing everything, saying, thinking, coming, going, but we're in the dark. We can't see God. We can't see. God, you see. God, you know. And so, that's why. Because of sin. Sin came along and made us afraid of the dark, And then we start loving the dark. Now, hang on to that, keeping that thought in mind. Over, if you would, while you're here, over to Jeremiah and chapter 13 again. Reminding yourself, as we did, God, we're looking down at the great picture of your word, of history, for our lives. Jeremiah chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 15. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Israel would not look to God, trust God. They're trying to keep going without God, and they were proud and positioned and persistent down the road, and there they go. And they went into captivity. And Jeremiah wept, because it didn't have to be. But you know, they weren't going to look to God and trust God as they should. Therefore, they're in the dark. Now, what happens in the dark? In the dark, we have a problem with something that we don't have in the light. Back over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And you would recall, if I may, in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through, I am walking in my state, condition, I am actually in the valley, of the shadow of death, deep, deep depression, deep, deep darkness, gloom. There's no light here. There's no right here. We keep doing everything, but we end up, what? Dying. We die in the darkness. Thus, 23, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to proceed to not be afraid of evil. What is evil there? E-V-I-L, evil. Bad, bad. It expressing what is unhealthy. Not good, not to good purpose. Good benefit, not good. Internally harmful, bad, bad. Unfitness, worthlessness. Injurious to the heart, to the mind, to the soul. It's malignant, evil, evil. All of that, the absence of good. What happened in Genesis 3? The devil said, you'll know good and evil like God. They didn't know evil. But when they disobeyed, they did know it. And the devil was right. You're going to know evil like I am evil, like I know evil. The absence of God, the absence of good, no good. When there's no good, you have, and no God, you have evil. The absence of healthiness, unhealthy. The absence of holiness, unholy. The absence of cleanness, uncleanness. It's all missing, all missing. The whole thing is up and down, all over the place, and it's not going anywhere. So now, that's the word evil that you're looking at. Now, having said that, I'm coming back here, but you can leave it for the moment. Over to Mark chapter 7, we must remind ourselves in order to do this properly. Mark chapter 7. I will fear no evil. And I want to remind us and myself about evil. The business. The day you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you'll know evil. And they knew evil. They knew it. They knew it. That's why they hid. They were naked. That's why Cain killed his brother Abel. Evil. That's why. That's why Noah and the great multitude in the days of Genesis 6, the Genesis flood. It was evil. We knew it. Genesis 8, they did evil from their youth. God knows we're evil. That's right. Mark chapter 7, and may I remind you and refresh my own memory here. Chapter 7, speaking of what goes in the body, we eat all kinds of food, goes into our body. I'll read verse 18. He saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? So there's nothing you can eat that makes you bad. Do you understand? You may get sick, but nothing you eat makes you bad. You could eat bad something and get sick, but it doesn't make you bad. Nothing you eat can make you bad. So we're looking. So it isn't eating. So where's bad come from? It isn't coming from outside. No, it's from inside. Thus, chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 9, because it entereth not into the heart, his heart, but into the belly, stomach, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. So a man, a woman, boy, a girl, it's what comes out of us, because it's in us. What's that? Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart, in the heart, that's the person inside, proceed evil, there's your word, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, envy and stuff, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these, verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they knew evil. They had to hide. They covered themselves. But if you don't get the right covering and you don't understand that, then you're going to try to have to keep covering it up. You have to cover up the condition of your heart as it really is. So you have to keep covering up everything. You have to redo it, rethink it, read everything. Therefore, over in Isaiah, let's do a couple of things to see it. Over to chapter 5. Chapter 5 in Isaiah. Now, God judging Israel. Israel was God's vine to be very fruitful. It was a bad vine and had bad fruit. Now, chapter 5, in the telling of the problem with Israel, what did Israel do? Among other things, as you would note, rightly so, verse 20. 5 and 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Whoa, we've got to turn it, as we shared 1,000 times, upside down. Because if we're really evil, we need to be good. And that means I got to get to God, who is good and makes good. So I got to get to you. But if I don't get to you, God, I'm evil. I'm bad. I'm not healthy. No. So therefore, what are we going to do, everybody? Let's have a vote. Let's make the law. Let's write a new law in our mind and heart. And that is, we're going to call our condition good. And what God is after, whatever that is, evil. We're going to call our condition darkness. Darkness? No. We'll call our condition light. and will call light darkness. We'll turn it all upside down so that we can live with it. How on earth can we live with this like it is? I got to change. I got to fix things. So that's what I'm going to try to do. And that's what the world does. How do you think we all get along in the light of God? Because we have it upside down. And it shows up in our thinking, Israel's thinking. Israel was trusting Egypt and all of these different things to save them from the Assyrians and from the Babylonians, etc. Now, over to chapter 8, Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 8. And in the light of that, may I pick up, please, in verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. I don't want to walk like Israel. They're wrong direction. Saying, say ye not a confederacy, treason, an act of treason. Say ye not confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. There's your words. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. No, I don't have to. I'm in the darkness, and the evil is there. It's in me. But I'm able to walk through it, and I can't see that far ahead, but I can see it right where my feet are. I'm going to look to you, God, and take one step at a time, trusting you, walking in the light as thou art in the light, proceeding forward. And here's David is going to do that. Daniel's going to do that. And here's Isaiah talking of Israel. And thus, don't follow their thinking. Remember, Jeremiah was told to shut up. Isaiah was told to shut up. Don't talk. Don't say anything. We don't want to hear what you're going to say. We don't like what you say. We don't want to hear that. We love darkness, and we call darkness light, and light darkness. Evil good, and good evil. We turn it all upside down. So please don't, this is our definition, this is how we think. Therefore, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, he alone. And verse 13, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. That goes with the word afraid. We don't have to fear or be afraid. Sliding down to verse 13, let God be your fear, let God be your dread. Let God, you want to fear, be afraid, look to God. God has the solution. That's what you've got to do. Look to God. He can work it out. Now, you do that. Don't listen to them. Listen to what I said. I told you what's going to happen, why it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. I want you to go and walk in the light. That is, walk with me. You're walking in the garden, Genesis 3, but you missed the afternoon walk. Because, and then besides that, to add to it, you can't walk in the garden anymore because of sin. You're kicked out of the garden. No more walks with God in the garden. No more. Wow, they're outside now. Now, God, and you know why? Because we got caught up in ourselves listening to the devil and everybody else out this system that tells us to do, turning it all upside down. And we don't understand, and we aren't fearing you as we ought to, and recognizing you are light, we are darkness. Now, Isaiah chapter 51. And Isaiah will say it for us again. May I go to verse 7? 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Don't get caught up in that. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can to verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? You are afraid of yourself and the world around you. And that's governing your life. So in the midst of everything we're doing, fear and being afraid is part of the whole equation. It's part of our makeup, part of our world. It's how we handle things. I'm going to do this and that. And all the, think of the phobias. I think of my psychiatric dictionary and all those things. And here's the phobias, page after page of phobias. Fears. fear of death, fear of wearing a tie, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Wow. Wow. God, we got him. We live in him. We're trying to handle it. But we can't, because we can't get away from the fear problem. Because the fear, no matter what we do, we know it won't work. We don't have the equipment. We don't understand it enough. We can't see down the end of the corridor. And we're trying to predict and understand and hope, but we can't see it. It's a guess. It's a feeling. And we try to get enough friends and people around us to support us as they go the same corridor. And they don't know. But if we have enough people, we'll all have a party and go forward. Happy New Year. But we don't know. Now, therefore, verse 13, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? I'll translate that very quickly. You're going to be afraid. You got a problem with a lot of fears. And you're afraid. And you're afraid of this. You don't even know it exists. God said you're full of fears that aren't even going to happen the way you think. They aren't even going to be that way. They're going to be a whole other way. And you're filled with all this stuff inside of you trying to make it. It's all crooked. It's not right. You're afraid of humans, and they got it all wrong. The fear of evil. So we're trying to handle life and everything and making sure we're okay. Wow. Now, and now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, so as we go through the valley of darkness and our fears are generated, as we shared, by our own heart, and as we generate the fears and we try to counter everything, and as we shared all of that in the process. So, all the things, God, we're trying to handle properly, and thus we aren't doing very good. Therefore, how are we going to do this? Well, we've got the fears, there's no question, even if you're unconscious of them, and you aren't going to be vividly conscious of them. A car could hit you at any moment, drunkard or drugs or something else. A car, some guy, person driving, well, you don't know. But down in your subconscious, you know, and you're driving along, no one else is around, and everything's okay. But down in your known, that which you know down in here, you know if you started talking about it, well, it would be true. Sure, something could happen. Something could happen in the next light. Wow. And you know it, but we don't think about it. That's how we handle things. We don't think about them. We don't want to handle them. Now, so having said that, you don't have to turn back there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am with you. Who? I am. That's what Adam and Eve hid from. They hid from God. They had to get back into fellowship, back where they could be in God's presence like we're sitting now and be safe, comfortable. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, for thou art with me. Over if you would, Psalm 46. And you'll pick up, please, in Psalm 46, a wonderful psalm among all of them. And sliding down, you know, if the earth opens up or whatever, earthquake or whatever, sliding down, to verse 5. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, everything's in a state of flux. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Verse 7, and the Lord of hosts is with us. There's your little phrase. The Lord, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Together, my aid, my ally. Together, aid, ally. Here I am, going down the corridor. God, David, you should be afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I know the evil's there. I know it's dark. But God is with me. In the darkness. And in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. There's no darkness at all with you, God. No, not at all. Now, so therefore, sliding along, the Lord is with thee. And you know the rest of the lovely psalm. Verse 10. Be still and know what? That I am God. Shh, be quiet. And know that I'm God. But, shh, don't get all upset. Quiet. Hush. I will be exalted among the heathen, the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of all creation is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge. God, we're okay. We're okay. That's right. We're okay. Now, having said that, Psalm 44. Our time is gone, but hope you got just a little bit. I'm trying to irritate you to get you to think and recognize that God's a wonderful God. And you need to know where stuff comes from without going to psychiatry or some school. And besides that, no one will ever, if you know God's word and God, and you know the God who gave it, you're the best psychiatrist in the world. Want to talk? Talk to somebody that knows God. They're way ahead of the game. All I could do is give you pills and talk to you for the next 10 months at $50 an hour. But if I can get you to think about God properly, he'll do the rest. Do you understand? He'll do the rest of it. He will. I got to get you to think about my God. My God. Wow. Now, so, Psalm 44. If I can, very quickly, picking up the thought, if I may. Verse 17. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from your way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though thou hast sore broken us in places of dragons, evil, difficulty, danger, and covered us with the shadow of death. God, it's awful dark, but not for you. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange god? Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the psalmist. We're counted as sheep, God. It looks like we're all alone out here, and the bad guys, the evil, are after. God, what do we do in the dark? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ah. Now here's, and we're killed like sheep. Wow. Doesn't that sound familiar? Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you may pick up in thought, Romans 8, you know it. I'll read verse 31, 8:31, Romans. What shall we say then? Say to these things, all these different things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God, if you're for us, who can be against us? So God, you're with us, that's right. All the way, God. And verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who maketh intercession for us? God, you're with us. Uh-huh. You're with us here and there. That's right. And so in the process, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, for it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We just read it in Psalm 44. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In the darkness, we're looking like we're going to the butcher shop. It's all right. I'm with you. The Lord said, listen, for 3.5 years, 3 and 3rd years, they tried to take me to the butcher shop. But they couldn't do it. And they had all their armies and all their power. And they couldn't do it. Because you see, I'm God. And I'm with you. They couldn't do it to me. And since I'm with you, they aren't going to do it to you unless I let that happen. And if I let that happen, you can be sure I got good reason for it. I'm going to, in the tribulation, I'm going to let it happen. But if I let it happen, I got a good reason. Therefore, the next verse, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. Above, over and above, conquerors, to prevail, to have the victory, over and above, superabounding. Conquerors only conquer. We're more than conquerors. More than. More than. That's right. So that, what? Well, so that you're persuaded. Neither death, you're over that, uh-huh. Life, over that. Angels, over that. Over principalities, powers. No things present, no things to come. We haven't even got to tomorrow. But God, we're a winner. That's right. Verse 39. No height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God, I got it. David said, I got it. What are we supposed to know? Do we have a great God, or don't we? We do. Closing, over to Isaiah again. Isaiah in chapter 40. We want to walk with the Lord. And we ought to do so. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Wow. So God, here we are. And we're gonna look to you, God, with great thanksgiving and excitement. Because The calendar's not going to stop. The clock is not going to stop. And you're not going to stop until we arrive safely into your presence, until your plan, purpose is fulfilled for our lives. We have a beginning and we have an ending. Now, so as you know the wonderful section, I'll start in verse 29 for time's sake. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, holding fast, wait upon the Lord, shall renew, exchange their weakness for his strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. We're going to be able to run the race without being run down, being able to be reduced to be small. Looks like we can't have anything, but we're never ruined. Never nothing. We never become nothing. We always become more. Somehow, the more you melt the gold, the better, the purer the gold gets. Wow. Humbled, without being depressed. Ready. Without being anxious. No anxious. No anxiety of mind. No. So we got all the resources and all the ingredients. God, we got them. Wow. All we have to do is look to you. That's right. Right. And we got it. Do you remember I think it was the Wizard of Oz or one of those things. And remember now the Tin Man had to have a heart. You remember that? Got to have a heart. Where am I going to get that? And the straw man. And the straw man had to have a brain, the straw man. Understand that? You got to have a thought. And then the lion had to have courage. And so the tin man a heart, the straw man a brain, and a lion courage. What do I need? There is no wizard. There is no Oz, but there is God. And what I need, God, you give me. Where? Why? In Christ Jesus the Lord. I don't deserve one blessed drop. I didn't merit it. I can't earn it. I'll never deserve it. Because of your, I think of Sunday school, because of your grace. That's why. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving, thanking you very, very much. God, thank you. For those who know not you not as their Lord and Savior, God, convict them not only here but across the face of the earth. Thank you very much for doing so. Thank you. It's the responsibility's on our head, not on yours, God. It's on ours. So thank you very much for caring. Give safety in the highway and that. And if you should tarry and we should live, it's your day. Set it apart, even this night, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.